Blazor and .NET 6 with Michael Washington.
The Azure DevOps Podcast is a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Each show brings you hard-hitting interviews with industry experts, innovating better methods, and sharing success stories. Listen on to learn how to increase quality, ship quickly, and operate well. And now your host, Jeffrey Palermo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jeffrey Palermo, your host, for helping you and your teams move fast, deliver quality, and run your software with confidence in Azure, all while using everything the .NET ecosystem has to offer. This podcast is sponsored by ClearMeasure, a software architecture company that empowers .NET teams to be self-sufficient and able to deliver world-class results. They are hiring architects and .NET engineers who would like a path to become an architect. So go to clearmeasure.com/careers for that. And finally, be sure to check out the new video show, Architect Tips. And my guest on today's show is Michael Washington, and he was also a guest on show number 88. You can go back in the archives. He's an ASP.NET C# programmer. He has extensive knowledge in process improvement, billing systems, and student information systems. And he is the founder of the BlazorHelpWebsite.com. And he has a son, Zachary, and resides in Los Angeles with his wife, Valerie. Michael, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
I am fine. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Well, I tell you what, at the time of this recording, we're hot off the heels of .NET Conf. So there is tons to talk about with .NET 6. But just for the, before we jump into that, before for the folks who maybe didn't hear you on the last podcast or are not familiar with you, what are the high points that have kind of led to you having this deep focus on Blazor?
Well, I'm the old school Microsoft guy from back in classic ASP, you know, back when, you know, I guess it's the Windows 98 era.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been with Microsoft technologies throughout the whole life cycle. So I guess I got into using things like Angular, you know, the SPA applications, kind of reluctantly. So it was just something you had to do at a certain period of time. And let's say it started about, maybe 15 years ago or about 10, roughly 10 years ago, up until the last, say, man, I'd say 2 years. So, you know, I went through, for example, the Microsoft Silverlight phase because it allowed us to do rich web applications using C#. So that leads me to Blazor. It simply allows me to make web applications using C#. I only have to use JavaScript when I want to. And that's pretty much my following, people who've kind of gone through that level of, you know, evolution. And that's pretty much my claim to fame is, yeah, I'm that, you know, traditional Microsoft technology guy who really wants to write, you know, his applications basically using C#. And primarily I do web applications.
Mm-hmm. And that's a massive number of people. There's been a marketing focus to get people who maybe have backgrounds in non-Microsoft related technologies and bring them over to Azure and get them to run whatever they have in Azure, because that's the business model. But yeah, like there are so many developers who have used Microsoft developed languages and tools, and to build on that year after year, decade after decade, that's a big advantage.
Yeah, and Azure is a big key thing. Pretty much everything I do, even in my personal, you know, blogging, open source, community stuff is on Azure. In my day job, everything that the group that I lead does is Azure. So yeah, Azure is a big part of the, you know, the thing, and the services that Azure provides allows people like me to stay in that Microsoft, you know, safe ecosystem, you know, yet still deliver just an incredible array of things. For example, the Azure Communication Services is something that is really, they're doing a lot with it right now. And that was a missing piece where you kind of had to go outside of Microsoft in order to, for example, send text to people, obviously to do custom video conferencing type of applications. So the fact that Azure is finally delivering compelling products in that space is, however, on that one really quick, making it work with Blazor is something that I've written some articles about. It was really kind of one of the hardest integrations I've ever done. And the Microsoft team reached out to me and they literally spent over an hour with me, multiple engineers and product managers to get my feedback on, you know, what is needed to, you know. So, you know, hats off to them. They're really doing the best they can. So
did they get it working like you wanted it?
Well, it was recently. Basically the way the conversation went was I said to them, look, I've been able to integrate Blazor with Power BI. And what I've been able to do there is incredible. I mean, you can create new Power BI applications in the web browser using Blazor, edit Power BI, reports. What I can do is incredible. And also with Teams, the interface for the SDK for creating your custom Microsoft Teams applications, that template uses Blazor. So I basically said, look at what those teams are doing, how easy it is for them, make it work that way. Yeah. So that was the feedback they took. But like I said, it was only about a month ago. So obviously, you know, we have to give them time. Also, of course, they're iterating on, you know, making their product work with all the other frameworks like React and Angular. So, you know, you kind of have to go, hey, let's give these people some time. But the fact that they felt it was so important that they're the ones who reached out to me, you know, nice. And said, hey, you know, we see people having issues. We see you're in the forums trying to help them. Can we talk? Because we want to, you know, focus their goals and things. So again, that just gave me so much confidence that there's people that are really trying to deliver the best products.
You dropped one of those announcements, Azure Communication Services, but we've got a new .NET 6 and Visual Studio 22, literally at the time of recording. .NET Conf was just last week. What are the exciting things that you paid the most attention to?
Hot reload, and more hot reload. I cannot express how big this is. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's been announced. So let's, you know, we're going to dive into it, but I just have to first talk about hot reload. Essentially what hot reload is that a developer can make a change to their code, you know, to add a new button, to add a, add a new dropdown, just add new code. And we have this, you know, normal process of stop, write the code, run the application, see how it worked. Oh my God, I got to move it over a little bit. Stop. This takes time. Okay. So what hot reload provides us, and also keep in mind that I am with Blazor, it comes in two flavors, server-side Blazor, pretty much everything's running on the server, and WebAssembly, where Blazor runs in the web browser and communicates if need be back, you know, through HTTP services, or actually now I got some other protocols, but I primarily use server-side Blazor, which if you want to think about it, think about technology like MVC without the postfix. Mm-hmm. Okay. So with Blazor Server, most changes to the application, even changes to a reference project, all you have to do is just hit the save button. And either the change will show up automatically in the web browser, or you just have to just hit refresh on the web browser to see the change. The productivity that this provides is just unprecedented. So again, I lead a team where I have to constantly come up with projects, plan them out. And for the managers, I have to give estimates on how long I think this is going to take. I literally can just shave off almost 75% of the time. It's that massive of a time. And this technology already existed with technologies such as Angular. With Angular, you can just make a save and it just automatically is reflected. However, that's front-end code, not the back-end code. So with this hot reload that's come out with .NET 6, it's not just for Blazor, it is for actually the entire stack. But again, my experiences with Blazor, it basically is the front-end code and the back-end code. Any changes, you hit save, the change is automatically reflected. You're just able to just move faster. It's amazing. It's groundbreaking. Everything I'm doing, I'm upgrading it to .NET 6, which, by the way, turns out to be very, very simple. For most projects, I just simply go open up in Visual Studio, go to projects, properties, do the drop down, change it from .NET 5 to 6, hit recompile, update the NuGet packages. It's ready to go. In Azure, you just go into configurations and you just simply change it to, it says .NET 6 early access. You change it to that, stop your website, restart it, you're good to go. It's that simple. So yes, hot reload, hot reload, hot reload. And then they came out with a bunch of other stuff. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, then let's talk about all the other stuff. you mentioned Azure Communication Services. So that stood out.
Okay.
What did you take notes of? Because if for the people who haven't seen the videos of .NET Conf, they obviously need to go and look, but what can we highlight for them?
Like I said, the biggest thing is Microsoft is building out all the expected services. For example, so if with Azure Communication Services, you would expect to be able to send and receive text, which is something, there's a lot of applications where you need to do that. Where, for example, you're sending people confirmation codes, which actually I wouldn't recommend, but you can send them things like reminding people that they have an appointment at the doctor's office sort of thing. So they have that. They also have full voice and video. So at my day job, we had a situation where we have students who are in incarcerated facilities. So using applications such as Microsoft Teams is not preferable because Teams allows students to do too much, you know, and you have a situation where you just need, say, for example, a teacher who is not able to go into facility because of, say, COVID restrictions, but you want to set up this video so that they can deliver instruction. So that's what got me to look at the Azure Communication Services to deliver a solution, you know, for that, where you can control the entire situation and only deliver certain features. So they provide that. Their product is really built out fully if you're using technologies like Angular and React. So it does work. Therefore, the issues I had with making it work with Blazor, it will work. The only issue is that you have to still use NPM to compile and part of your tool chain. And the reason why my feedback to their group was you need to remove NPM as a requirement, not only because with Blazor, the fact that you can create applications without using NPM is a very important thing, because as soon as you bring NPM into the tool chain, the complexity is significant.
Oh yeah.
And especially dealing with new developers, honestly, on my team, I don't have the new developers trying to learn or to maintain the Angular applications that we have. I only have them doing Blazor, and we only do Blazor moving forward. So therefore, all of our Angular stuff is considered maintenance and that sort of thing, because I just lose too much time.
Sure.
So NPM, I guess, it's a good technology. The problem is that the negatives are outweighing the positives when you're in a, for myself, how about that? I'll just say that and leave it at that.
Many thanks to our podcast sponsor, Clear Measure. Clear Measure is a software architecture company that empowers clients' development teams to be self-sufficient, moving fast, delivering quality, and running their systems with confidence. Whether starting a new project or developing new technologies or techniques, Clear Measure sets up your team to deliver world-class results. Learn more at www.clearmeasure.com. Clear Measure, empowering software delivery.
There was quite a few demos that I saw on all the different types of Blazor applications. Now it was, okay, yeah, server-side WebAssembly. And now there's so much more. What is the landscape of Blazor now with .NET 6?
Blazor is not just for the web anymore. So again, we were talking before we started this podcast, you and I were talking about how I originally got into Blazor because I just wanted it to allow me to make web applications without having to use excessive amount of JavaScript. You still need JavaScript here and there, but you know, I wanted to mostly code in C#. That was my focus. And I thought that that's all Blazor was going to be. Boy, was I wrong. Blazor, the biggest things that really came out of .NET Conf is that Microsoft intends to use Blazor for the desktop. They intend to use Blazor for mobile applications. They intend to just put Blazor everywhere. So MAUI, which is actually not fully released at this point, is a simplest way to think of it is what Xamarin was really meant to do, which is to allow you to kind of write once for a mobile application and deploy to your Android and iOS and that sort of thing. That's the future of that is my understanding is MAUI. So kind of unifies things. But what MAUI also does is the desktop. And when we talk about the desktop, we're not talking about just the Windows desktop. We're talking about the Mac desktop.
Yeah.
So I hate to say that phrase, Jeffrey, because you know, write once, run everywhere.
It's all the way back from the 90s, Sun Microsystems.
I hate to bring that one out, but they're seems like they're going after that one again. So that's exciting. It's just Blazor everywhere, and it just works. So for a simplest way to think of it is, Blazor uses pretty much HTML syntax, but allows programmatic binding to elements of HTML syntax. That's pretty much what you're looking at with Blazor, even though there's one piece of Blazor flavor, which is kind of wacky, and that is you have a Blazor app, but they allow you to actually use XAML markup, yet it's still a Blazor app. So that's another thing they have floating around out there. But for the most part, they're saying you can write your Blazor components, so something that truly works Blazor, and run that component in so many other environments. It's very, very exciting. So that's the other big thing that I think that's come out of that. For example, Microsoft Teams. If you want to make a custom Microsoft Teams application, there's an SDK that they released, and it creates a Blazor project. Now, Microsoft Teams needs, in order to have the look of Microsoft Teams, they have their own UI component framework. And that, of course, also works with Blazor. So you're writing a Blazor app, but you're invoking this, you download like NuGet package and that sort of thing. And it looks like a normal Teams app. It's actually using the same UI components that are used by other, let's say you had created the application with React or Angular. Yet it's still a Blazor app, and you're still able to deliver, a really compelling solution. So again, I think that's kind of, if you look at the bigger picture of really what happened at .NET Conf, that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah. I was blown away by them even taking Blazor down to desktop applications.
Right.
And you mentioned Mac or whatnot, but not just, oh yeah, run it if in WebView, which is when you think of iframe, run it in a WebView and you're faking a browser component. No. This is where the C Sharp is actually a desktop application. You can actually read and write files from the disk. It is a desktop application. It's just not using XAML for the screens. It's using markup.
Markup, right.
Which that's got to be strategic. I don't have the stats. I don't know if you do, but just the number of developers that have entered this industry and the number of people trained in markup and CSS versus the number of people who are trained in XAML or any other kind of UI paradigm.
I mean, that's what you teach a person. If someone says, oh, I want to create, or actually I even want to be a programmer, one of the first things I would teach them is, okay, let me show you how to make web pages.
Yep.
And then we're going to move from there into other things. So it's almost like, wow, Microsoft cannot lose by taking this sort of attitude. And again, they're not anti-JavaScript. So therefore, you know, those people who do say, I like to code in Java. Yeah, you can still use it inside your Blazor applications. Of course, for that desktop scenario that you and I were just discussing, this is a case of just use them, you know, this HTML-based markup that allows you to do programmatic binding so that your button, when they click on the button, something happens and that sort of thing. And some C-sharp code to do something and you're off and running. I tell you, it's if you haven't tried Blazor and seen what an application looks like, you know, if you're listeners, just do that. Just see, because the thing I want you to look at is it's not a lot of code. And not a lot of code is very important. One, it's easier to learn when you don't have not a lot of code. Two, if you're a project manager, things move faster if it's not a lot of code. We typically have less bugs when we can deliver a solution with, say, 50 lines of code versus, say, 10,000.
Yeah.
And on and on and on.
Okay. Now you mentioned server side. Do you have anything in the works with WebAssembly?
I have done some things with WebAssembly. Matter of fact, the number one thing that I use if I'm doing a WebAssembly project, the number one thing is Octane, Octane. This is a open source project created by Sean Walker. Sean Walker is the creator of .NET Nuke from back in the day when .NET Nuke still, you know, actually still going. But his current project is Octane, where he took everything he learned from .NET Nuke and made a Blazor version of it. And Octane runs both as server-side Blazor or WebAssembly Blazor. You can just flick a switch and it runs. So if you're making custom modules, and this is what I contribute to the project, is I make custom modules for it and release them, and I write books on it. I just wrote a book that you can get at syncfusion.com on creating Octane modules. So when I'm creating Octane modules, that's when I'm creating WebAssembly, because you create, like I said, you create the module, custom modules as WebAssembly modules, and therefore they run as WebAssembly or server-side Blazor. But an Octane is just simply a application framework that allows you to install Octane. It gives you the users, the roles. You can install other custom modules like a blogging module or a help desk module, and therefore you can then create whatever other custom modules you need, or just simply create a community or a you know, deliver an application based upon custom modules that you've downloaded and configured inside Octane. So so that's where I find myself doing WebAssembly. And the code is 90% the same. The only difference between using WebAssembly Blazor or server-side Blazor is with server-side Blazor, you don't have to make calls from the client code or the UI code into server-side resources. You literally, in the .razor page that contains the UI, you can call directly to the database. Whereas if you're doing WebAssembly, you must set up an HTTP call. you know, to a backend controller or some other protocol that you're using, and then, you know, receive the call, have some proper security around that, and do the functionality, and then, you know, package up some sort of return object and send it back, and then deserialize it, you know, so there's extra code in between.
Okay.
Which is actually not really Blazor specific.
Sure.
So the Blazor specific parts are the same both ways, but there's extra, you know, level of communication that you need with Blazor WebAssembly.
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned your latest book, and you've written a number of books. I lost count of how many there are. but give us that title again, and where can people find it?
So creating Blazor modules for Octane Blazor modules, that's available on syncfusion.com. That was the most recent book that I've written. Before that, I wrote a book. Actually, I checked the check my list there. I wrote another book for SyncFusion on Blazor WebAssembly. What's interesting about both of those books, and again, they're available for free. What's interesting is I did the same exact project for, and actually I wrote another book for SyncFusion a year before that. And all three of these books cover the exact same project, which is a help desk. Mm. So it allows users to come in, create an issue of, you know, hey, I've got this, you know, issue. An administrator can log in, see all the issues, and, you know, update the status, and then email the person back, you know, through the app to say, hey, we're working on your issue, or you know, give us more information. That person can receive an email. They can click on a link, and they can add. So a full, you know, application there. And when I wrote the very first book on SyncFusion, my goal was to write a book, it has to be less than 100 pages, where I go through every single line of code in the book. Because in my feeling, I could not do that with any other technology. So I'm like, if I can pull this off. So in the very first book, I pulled it off. Then they said, hey, people want the same thing, but with WebAssembly. So I, you know, went back into my, you know, into the lab and figured it out. Boom, delivered another book. Less than 100 pages, every single line of code is in the book. And then with Octane, you know, created a custom Octane module. Can you do it again? Again, less than 100 pages, the exact same module with all those same features, but delivered again. And with Octane, I came in with less code because Octane handles things like, you know, the emailing and the user management is already built into Octane. So therefore the Octane version of the exact same functionality turned out to be even less code. And remember, that one even has the WebAssembly version inside it. So, yeah, that's kind of, you know, that series of books, that's what it covers. So if you actually can download all three free books and look at the code, I think you'll get an idea of, wow, Blazor is very efficient, and you know, we can do so much with so little code. So I'm actually very happy with that series of three books. And again, they're all available for free.
Now, SyncFusion, they have Blazor UI components, as well right. as other, you know, Infragistics. We had some people from them on the show a while back. What's the current state of the third party UI controls and components these days?
Yes, I think you and I did touch upon this. And again, you and I kind of coming from the same perspective with, you know, we deliver products and we have to think the bigger picture. And these components can be very efficient and they can provide a lot of value. So I think when you and I discussed this previously, I was like, wow, these components are really, you know, they're really useful and I'm pretty excited. Things have gotten 10 times better since then. They've gotten to the point where, and there's other, like I said, all the players are involved now. So it's not like, oh, some they're coming up. No, all the players, you know, the Radzins, the SyncFusions, the Telerix, the Infragistics, they're all full, you know, all their components are out there. Those components are so efficient at this point, especially with server-side Blazor. You pretty much can drop their component on the page. They've gotten it down to like, I don't know, 5 lines of code, and they can make a data grid. You could edit, sort, paging, server-side paging, not, you know, inefficient stuff. No, we're talking about efficient server-side paging, minimal code, and it just works. The styling is so good now because, you know, the Blazor framework, they've really worked hard to make it so that, you know, the component vendors can you know, implement their special styling and their special scripts without a lot of, you know, the orchestration by the end user developer. It just works. So the component situation, in my opinion, is excellent. Obviously, the reason why SyncFusion had me write the series of books was to just illustrate. Again, like I said, I was able to create these books at less than 100 pages and create this entire application because, you know, in two pages, I basically say, drop the SyncFusion grid here, you know, connect to the database here. Right. Look, this thing now works. Okay, now let's move on to the next subject. I could not do that if the components did not exist. Right. So, you know, it was a win-win situation. And obviously, again, with the SyncFusion, they have a free license for if you're, you know, I think less than $1 million company. So, again, give it a try. Again, there's other players like Radzen. So I've done a number of tutorials using Radzen. And, you know, so I kind of, you know, show you the difference here, but it's pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. So
nice. Yeah. Well, awesome. As we're kind of wrapping up here, there's lots of stuff that we've pointed to, and we'll include links to those in the show notes. Is there anything else that that you would steer people to if they're really jumping on .NET 6, and whether they've tried Blazor before or not, they're digging in?
Just last night on my website, blazorhelpwebsite.com, I updated my end-to-end database-driven tutorial to .NET 6. So if you're interested in just checking this thing out, I would recommend that you know, you go there. It's, as of today, it's the top, you know, link because I just published it last night. It would take even a beginner less than an hour to go through it. I have every step by step. And I would say just give this a try. And if you are more familiar with Blazor, I have just published a series of articles on using Azure B2C. And I also did a video for .NET Conf, which the replay should be posted. Scott Hanselman sent a tweet saying that the it'll probably be posted around Monday. So let's say around Tuesday. So I did a half hour session on using Azure B2C with Blazor. And other than that, on my website, blazorhelpwebsite.com, I have a series of articles on using a Power BI with Blazor, which I feel is very compelling. You know, reporting is very important. And I feel that Power BI, especially with their paginate reports, which is basically a normal RDL. I mean, you literally can take a normal, you know, SSRS RDL and put it in Power BI as a paginate report. And I have a series of articles that show you how to display those reports, you know, in Blazor. So when people ask, well, what's the reporting solution that you would recommend? Power BI, that's that's where I'm at. So again, all that's on my website, blazorhelpwebsite.com.
Awesome. We'll include all that in the show notes. And this is a fire hose of information. So Michael, thanks so much for coming on the Azure DevOps podcast and sharing that with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. And until next time, keep shipping.
You've been listening to the Azure DevOps Podcast, a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Go to www.azuredevops.show for show notes and other episodes. On behalf of your host, Jeffrey Palermo, and our sponsors, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.